On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
What's up, everybody? This is Fred Smoot.
This is Landon Collins.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kerrigan. This is the Redskins Talk Podcast with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast, brought to you, as always, by the great, great people at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Encourage you to do the same thing. Mitch Tischler's here. Pete Haley's here. What's up, fellas?
What's going on, buddy?
Rocking your Mets sweatshirt, I see.
Mitch, you're not ashamed. Mitch is extremely casual today.
It's an extremely casual day today. It's MLK Day.
I don't want to guess at the number of articles of clothing you're wearing, but if I had to guess... If I had to set the over-under, I'm setting it at 2.
It's over 2.
Wait, over 2. You got socks on? Let me see the socks.
No socks.
All right, dude.
But it's over 2.
I'm telling you it's 2.
I think it might be 3, though.
I don't want to see your drawers.
They're drawers.
Is there a shirt on under the sweatshirt?
No way.
Yep. There is.
Okay, so 4.
Right, so 4.
Okay. There's 4.
I'm telling you, if I could have bet on 2,
yeah,
I would have
felt really
gone.
Good.
By the way, the number of listeners that exited out at this 2 part
of it's about to be the number of hosts who exit out. I kind of want to get out of here.
There's plenty of clothes on here,
right,
boys. How many articles of clothing are you wearing?
That's actually a fun game.
I'm like dressed, dude. I shaved, I showered.
Do you have a shirt on under that, Pete?
This is my shirt.
Right. He's got one shirt. I'm assuming drawers and pants.
Pants, socks.
We're dressed for a show later.
He has this. I hope
same number of clothes.
Same number
have.
Of clothes.
I have jeans, drawers.
You have one extra.
Zip
you
up,
probably be
shirt,
up
and
five.
Socks.
Yes, you're
right.
At 5.
Yeah, you're at 5.
I think 4 is acceptable, which means you have pants, drawers, socks, and shirt. That's the bare minimum.
That's correct. Unless it's summer.
Unless it's summer, then you can knock down to 3.
Because you don't have to wear socks.
And free feet.
Free feet, obviously.
Correct.
And let's be clear. I mean, drawers are optional in the summer.
You have to have drawers, something down there.
Are drawers going to be optional in Miami for you?
No. No. No.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about Miami. We're going. Ready or not, here we come. Mitch keeps asking me about my wardrobe. I asked my wife today if she thinks I have Miami clothes. She said absolutely not. So
I just want
to
know, are
do
you
I have
wearing
to go buy Miami clothes?
Are we wearing blazers on air or no?
I don't know, Mitch. You keep asking me. I don't have these
he's
answers.
Angsty.
You're the one that
he's very angsty.
You're the one. Well, you're the one that sets the tone for how we dress on air.
That's true.
When we're out in Ashburn on Fridays, we wear relatively casual clothes.
Well, guess what? You will not be wearing that.
Yeah, you're not allowed to wear that.
I'm not wearing that outfit.
What you're currently wearing should not even get on the plane.
It might be plane wear.
No. You can't jump into Miami in a sweatshirt and sweatpants.
And those sweatpants are like bell-bottom sweatpants. Those are not normal sweatpants.
They are kind of flared at the bottom, like an indie pop artist.
Here's where...
They're my JNCO sweatpants.
They are JNCO sweatpants.
They're not sexy sweatpants.
No, certainly not.
This is sincere, and this is from Jerry Madelon. Always try to look your best. Now, what your best can be appropriate for the occasion. Right? Like, we don't need to be wearing tuxedos on Radio Row.
I didn't ask you to wear a tuxedo.
Are you crying? What is coming out of your
laughing.
Eye?
I was laughing so hard about that.
Just look your best. And what you think is your best is your best. But I think it is necessary.
What's
you
funny,
can't be blazer and you can't. You guys have to have some sort of
exactly.
synchronicity.
Let's bring some blazers. Let's bring some golf shirts. We don't know if it's going to be hot. We don't know if it's going to be cool.
It'll probably be hot.
Well,
we're
I think we're going to be indoors. But it wouldn't shock me if they try to have some like indoor-outdoor vibe going.
Yeah.
So we got to be versatile.
All right.
Versatility is key.
Yeah.
It's It's easy for a man of your size to pack more versatility than it is for a man of my size.
Yeah, Mitch is like,
my clothes and shoes take up a lot more room
Mitch
than
packs
yours do.
A pair of shoes, and that's 33% of his suitcase gone right there.
Bring your big suitcase this trip.
I have one.
You just that one that you bring everywhere? Yeah. You don't have a bigger
Are you going to make JP carry your suitcase in the airport? Like you do with everybody else?
We're on different flights down.
Okay, we're on different flights down.
I'm not carrying your suitcase. Official.
Mitch
if HR is listening, Trina, I'm not carrying Mitch's suitcase. Booked another guest for Miami.
Let's go.
You want to guess or do you want
to? Yeah, can you like a mini 20 questions?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
I don't know if you'll remember this. He was our first guest last year.
In Miami?
Well, last year we were in
Atlanta.
Yeah.
First guest. I don't remember first guest. Is he an NFL player?
No.
Former NFL player?
No.
Former NFL coach?
No.
Oh, major reporter?
The most major.
He has the same name as me? First name?
Yes.
Peter King.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
That's big time.
He's the dean. He is the principal
of
American
football reporting.
If
you're going to the Super Bowl,
reporting.
You right. need Peter King on your podcast.
It's the best way to kick it off.
Yeah.
It's the best.
That's a good one.
He's the best. I can't wait.
Remind everybody else who we have in addition to Peter King, or who you guys have, I should say.
Terry McLaurin.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Theismann's expected to sit down with
us. The guy whose name rhymes with?
Lon Mavera?
Sean, yeah.
Sean Teixeira.
Yeah.
Might be sitting down with us.
Yeah.
Related to Mark Teixeira, the baseball player.
Right.
One of the free agent prospects
this is
that
juicy.
People are drooling over to join the Redskins. I'm not going to give this one away, but if you can guess it, that's fine. One of the free agent prospects that people are drooling over to join the Redskins that played for Sean Teixeira for Ron Rivera with the Panthers is going to be sitting down with
that's
us.
That's a really cool one. So I think I might be looking forward to that one the most. It's a dark horse.
It's going to be fun getting down nitty gritty with him a little bit.
Yeah.
Learn about Sean.
There's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot, and it's going to be a lot of fun. You guys better be watching, paying attention. What we want you to do is the same thing we did last year. Everybody that's watching the stream, which is Tuesday through Friday, 12 to 1 on the My Teams app, everybody that's watching, send us in pictures of you watching, of your setup. And the last 10, 15 minutes of every show, Pete's going to be joining us, and we're going to try to run as many of those pictures as we can, and then we're going to try to make it as interactive as possible. I'll be on social throughout, but, you know, when we're sitting down with big deal guests, we can't exactly be hucking it up on Twitter.
Yep.
But that last 15 minutes, we're trying to leave us time to be interacting with everybody as it's happening. Mitch looks wary.
I am excited for JP to huck it up.
I don't know if that's a term, but it's a term I just used.
Yeah, I accept it. It's acceptable.
Okay.
Do you want to preview who we have coming up on this podcast?
I do. So there's been a lot of discussion about Chase Young. Chase Young is an absolute star. Dude, it's crazy. I sent out a couple tweets over the weekend, and I get all sorts of, like, messages like, dude, what are you saying? Like, what are you hinting at? I'm not hinting at anything. It's January 18th. Nobody knows anything. Mm-hmm. No draft board is set. Nobody knows anything. I do firmly believe that the hype around Tua is going to get crazy as we get close to April 23rd, the night of the draft. I think his agent is Lee Steinberg. Lee Steinberg has gotten a number of quarterbacks drafted in the top five. He is a big deal agent. When Steinberg says Tua is going to be ready in April, he's going to do a workout, he's going to look great, I believe him.
You know he's going to look great.
Right.
He's going to have a perfect day of passing in perfect conditions, and that train is going to get going.
And I'm not saying that the Skins are going to want to draft Tua. All I'm saying is the second overall pick is going to become incredibly valuable. And I don't know that the Skins are going to trade out of it because they like Chase Young. And when you hear this interview we did with Bill Rabinowitz, who covers Ohio State for the Columbus Dispatch, you're going to run through a brick wall for Chase Young. You can check out Bill at BR Dispatch on the Twitter. I'm telling you, Chase Young is a star. I think he's going to be an absolute beast. I think of the three of us, I am on draft Chase Young at 2. I think you're there too, right?
Absolutely on it, yes.
Mitch, I don't know. Mitch wants to kick the tires.
I want to kick the tires. I want to see what's out there. I want to see when Tua starts going crazy, when what's my Clemson linebacker's name? Isaiah Simmons starts going crazy. I want to see who's gonna get a little nuts and make that trade up.
There are plenty of
examples of bad trades that teams made trading back. There's also good examples.
Well, our dummy friend AJ sent out a tweet like, I bet the Niners are happy they didn't trade out of the second spot because they took Bosa, right? The year before, they traded out of the second spot. They traded down one, got a lot more picks, added to their team. What if Detroit decides to move up to two and the Skins can get Chase Young at three and get a second round?
That's a dream scenario.
I'm telling you, but these sorts of scenarios are possible.
Half the Titans team came from them trading the number one pick to the Rams back. Back to the Rams. They got Derrick Henry. They got
Conklin.
They got Jonnu Smith. They got Corey Davis. They got four. They got four everyday starters for them from that one trade.
So
there are situations where it looks good both ways.
Right. And if we learned anything from the Bruce Allen era is that you don't have to be so focused on winning everything, that every transaction has a winner and a loser. Sometimes both sides can do better. Like, it's okay for both people to prosper, especially in the draft. Like, in game day, you got to win. But you know what? I don't know if that makes sense. But here's a preview of what is coming with Tua, okay? I was texting, this is from last Thursday, I guess, texting with somebody, college scout, knows football, clearly knows quarterbacks. I'm not going to say who it's from, but it's somebody I know that very much knows their stuff. If Tua's hip checks out, he is the best quarterback prospect in the draft, and it's not even close. So listen to that. And then listen to this. I've never seen a person slash quarterback like him. He is Tim Tebow as a human, Tom Brady as a dude in the locker room, and next level arm talent. I can't explain it. Too many stories to text. He is legit.
Damn.
This is no offense to JP, but if the Redskins insider is getting texts like this or hearing these kinds of stories and whatnot, that's going to start getting out. Like, that's going to be around the league.
I just read it.
You think you're the only one that's getting that, no, that's getting that description? But that's my point that I'm making.
Didn't I see something over the weekend that Miami's all in on getting Tua? Like, I'm just telling you, Burrow to the Bengals is a done deal. The hype around Tua is going to get crazy. I am confident that's going to happen.
Yeah, and like you said, maybe the Redskins can get Chase and more picks, and then they smash the draft again.
And Tua's also just one. There are three guys who are right now on whatever day today is potential number two overall picks. This is the way that Isaiah Simmons, Chase.
I don't think any defensive prospect's gonna go above Chase Young. I just don't see that happening.
Okay,
because there's also some recency there, and there's always. The only analogy I can think of is a bad one, so I'm not going to use that. But there's always something exciting about the less known, right? About the mystery. So I think some of that is Simmons right now. Like, there's a lot of, like, draft hipsters that want to be like, oh, dude, I'm an Isaiah Simmons guy.
You're going to take him over Burrow and Young. Right. Well,
you're not, nerd.
You're also going to see that dude pop at the combine along with Chase Young and – whoever
you
else.
See Herbert pop at the combine?
But that's my point, is we go through this all every year, right? But like right now we think that Chase Young is the best defensive player and the only one that could go number two or whatever, but you're going to see other dudes pop along the way, and there's going to be times that all of a sudden guys are going to start dropping and raising and moving around.
We just have to talk about it now because we have a pod to record, but Chase Young could go to the combine and have a weird knee thing that makes people worried. And then there's some source that says Isaiah Simmons is going to be the best defender since Brian Urlacher. Things will change, but right now it still feels like Chase Young makes sense at two.
The more things change,
the more they stay the same. Yeah. I think maybe you last year, JP, said eventually we'll end up right back where we were, but there's going to be a lot of stuff in between that, you know, changes people's opinions.
Well, I mean, think about it last year with Haskins. I mean, there were times that he was in the top five. There were times he wasn't a first round pick. And at the end of the day, he ended up going at 15,
right
in the middle.
This draft cycle will be different for the Skins, though, because they're at the top. I mean, for 4 years now, it's been the middle. And you don't know what's going to happen. You're dependent on what happens around you. Are you going to trade up? Are you going to trade down? All those sorts of things. Skins are, I mean, really probably where the action starts. And I don't know how much action there will be. We got a lot of time to see what goes on.
Bill Rabinowitz says there should be no action and the Redskins should take Young in our interview.
And this is a guy that covered both Bosas before he covered Young. I also a little bit of news, recording this on Monday, Monday morning about Scott Turner. So for a while now, a couple of weeks, basically, The only real question with what Ron Rivera has done, unless you're one of those that is worried about all the Carolina hires, and Mitch has an interesting note on that, but has what's happened at offensive coordinator. And Kevin O'Connell was kind of the presumed guy to get that job. There had been some reporting out there that he was staying, and then he wasn't, and then he was interviewing. And obviously he didn't get the job. He is now the offensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Rams. Scott Turner is the offensive coordinator of the Washington Redskins, and Scott Turner is going to be calling the plays. So I've gotten that question more than any about, hey, what's that about? How'd that all shake out? And so ultimately, like, when I get people asking me the same question over and over again, I'm like, all right, I'm going to try to find this out so I can have an answer.
It's very nice of you.
Yeah. So I got a Sunday, the story kind of like landed on me unexpectedly, honestly. And the answers were simpler than I expected and yet a little surprising, if that makes sense. Basically, the way things that were told to me was Scott Turner just nailed the interviews and that Ron Rivera believed in him from his time with the Panthers. And if you go back, there's a long track record of Ron working for Norv Turner with the Chargers before he got the job with the Panthers. And Scott was there way back. You know, Scott's first job in the NFL was Ron's first job with the Panthers in 2011. Scott worked with Cam. Scott worked with Teddy Bridgewater. A lot of this is about developing Dwayne Haskins. And Scott presented a plan for that. And I think Ron believed in that plan. And the other part of this that I found important is that there was talk that Kevin O'Connell maybe didn't want this job and kind of passed on it. And honestly, I'm not – like, that was kind of my understanding of events as well. Mm-hmm. I was told he wanted the job. And then if you just think about it, Kevin O'Connell landed in a great spot with the Rams working with Sean McVay, but he's not going to be the play caller.
Yeah, it's a mini step back maybe in terms of duties.
Coaches don't like giving stuff up. And yeah. Especially offensive guys don't like giving up play calling. Now, could that change? Maybe. There's also, you know, Jay Gruden, as much as he loved calling plays, when Sean was here, he allowed Sean to call plays. He kind of saw it and was like, all right, yes, you can do it. He didn't do that with Kevin. So for everybody that tries to make that automatic assumption that Kevin is the next Sean or whatever, I don't know that that's all there too. So the big picture, though, and I wrote this in my story, is that I think some Skins fans kind of assume the worst at all times. There's just like Charlie Brown mentality or whatever. And the way I was told from different people is that Scott Turner won the job and that had Pat Shurmur interviewed, maybe things would have looked different. But the fact that Ron interviewed Kevin O'Connell twice, interviewed Scott Turner and knew Scott Turner and still wanted Pat Shurmur, to me, leads me to believe that O'Connell wasn't Ron's number one choice. Like, if you're still bringing more people in,
yeah.
And Shurmur declined the interview, and I think there might have been something there about who gets to name assistant coaches. I've heard that a little bit. But I think Skins fans, Ron is in on Scott Turner. And if you listen to, like, Warren Sharp and some of these the analytics guys, they like Scott Turner a lot.
It's all the play-action passing.
Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it, and I'm still a little wary of whatever system change there is for Dwayne, but if you just put Scott Turner and Kevin O'Connell's resumes next to each other, they're not much different. They're young guys who have had a little taste of being coordinators, but beyond that, you're just putting a lot of trust into how they develop. So in that respect, you're not exactly losing anything by moving on from KOC and bringing Scott Turner in.
Well, and, I mean, they only both got to call plays after an in-season coach firing.
Yeah.
Right? So O'Connell got to do it a little bit longer, but
I mean,
it was 8 games versus 4 or something.
Yeah,
I guess 11 versus 4.
Yeah, but Callahan was pretty strong in that room,
sure,
during those 11 games. So it's not
like
it was.
I think Kevin was calling his own plays maybe the last couple weeks.
Yeah, 2-3 weeks.
But we don't have to keep going on that. I just wanted to kind of tell that story.
I think it's an important thing to correct or at least reveal.
Just point out. And, yeah, and the story's available on our website, NBC Sports Washington. I tweeted it out. I'm sure the Redskins feed has tweeted it out. What do you call that? The at NBCS Redskins?
At NBCS Redskins.
Okay, one more thing. Before we get to Bill Rabinowitz talking about Chase Young.
And a little Dwayne Haskins, Joe Burrow.
So that was another. That's a good point. So many people have been asking, how did Burrow lose out to Dwayne Haskins. So he asked Rabinowitz. I mean, he was there. He saw it all unfold.
Gave a good account of it.
Pretty interesting. So I think people will get a kick out of that. Also, I think we went to the casino. We went to MGM last Thursday. We haven't talked to you guys since. So after the Rabinowitz interview, it's going to be all shtick and nonsense. If you want to listen to that, we'll do a casino wrap-up.
Ooh.
How does that sound?
It's the best shtick ever.
Lastly, an announcement. So, oops.
That's my pen, by the way.
You left it in here.
Yeah, it's been in here.
Okay.
So, we're not going to Mobile. This will be the first time in my 4 or 5 years doing this we're not going.
In the Finley era.
Going back before that.
For the Senior Bowl.
Another few years
for the Senior
as well.
Bowl. So, yeah. this week is the Senior Bowl.
Well, there's no Chase Young there, and the Redskins aren't in a market for quarterback. Last year is valuable for you to interview all the mid-round quarterbacks and stuff, but...
Right. So, there's a number of things. One, with that high level of a pick, that top 10 players typically aren't at these sort of events, you know what I mean? And this, in a lot of spots, this is about players that are day two or even day three prospects showing out for NFL coaches and getting their name out there. And don't get me wrong, especially if like our bosses are listening, Mobile is incredibly valuable. And it's important to be down there and talking with agents and coaches and scouts and all that stuff. But because of just some logistical things on our end and with going to Miami next week, it got to be a lot. It got to be a lot to make this trip. And for the first time in a number of years, the Redskins aren't having any sort of availability. So if you recall, we'd have to go to Mobile, Alabama to speak to Bruce Allen. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the standard thing, was Bruce will talk in Mobile.
At least hope to talk to him.
Right. We'll save those stories okay. for another time.
Next time we have a off-the-record pod, we'll have some funny stories.
So, it's my understanding Ron Rivera is not even going to the Senior Bowl. Obviously, Kyle Smith will be there. But Kyle's not doing any official availability. And when you combine all that, going to Miami for a week, and frankly, I think it's going to make more sense for us to go to Columbus in a couple months to go to Chase Young's Pro Day and watch it in person.
That'll be a cool
and
thing.
See how he interacts because... I mean, the last time they drafted this, it was Mitch and Chick down at Baylor watching RG3, right?
It's a lot different watching a defensive end go through his pro day than it is a quarterback. It's very pretty binary for a quarterback. You see him throw the ball and they either catch it or they don't, or it's in stride or it's not, or it's got the zip or it doesn't. It'll be interesting to take a look at Chase Young. It's going to be a lot more dissecting numbers than it is passing an eye test.
Well, and we'll be able to speak to, hopefully, and see Chase Young at the Combine, too.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think he's going to do many drills, but I certainly expect him to be there. I mean,
he'll be there for all the interviews, the interviews with the teams and whatnot.
Well, and dude, he'll get weighed in and get his height and all that. I mean,
hand size. Remember how important
he'll
hand
be there.
Size is.
Who has Mitch has giant hands. Huh. Who has bigger hands between you and I? I think I have small hands.
Those are pretty even.
I think I got him beat.
I think you got him
definitely
beat.
Definitely do.
My middle
beat
finger is beat. Big.
A half finger pad. I mean, that's it's not as bad as I thought it would be, but Mitch.
Maybe I have bigger hands than I thought.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get to Bill Rabinowitz, I want to remind everybody to go check out Oarsman Ford Lincoln of Alexandria. Go get a Ford. Go get a Lincoln. New cars, used cars, the Oarsman Lifetime Edge. Those are our guys. They will take great care of you. And then January 21st is a big day at NBC Sports Washington, a very, very cool project that I worked on and a number of others here worked on. Is the Big 20. We're looking back at the last 20 years of DC sports to figure out what were the 20 biggest stories. Last week we talked about this, and Mitch made the argument for the Terps title to be 1 and 2 are locked. You can decide which order of Caps, Stanley Cup, and Nats World Series, but they are 1 and 2, period. Like, if this was horse racing, it's an exacta box, and you got 1 and 2.
It's a good thing I only bet trifectas.
Number 3 is where the conversation starts. And to me, it's Caps and then Nats. And I don't know if everybody agrees with that, but
it's got
to
be the Caps won, broke the ice. That was the big one.
Broke the ice, nice.
And Ovi had been knocking on that door for so long. We're not going to argue about number 3 here. What I'd like to quickly do, and everybody be sure you are checking out NBCSportsWashington.com for the Big 20 presented by McLean Mortgage. And what's cool is this starts on Tuesday, January 21st is the countdown. Every weekday after that, we're going to reveal the next numbers, 20, 19, 18, et cetera. And the Junks are going to be talking about it each morning on 106.7 The Fan.
And the folks that you guys all get to know that cover those teams are writing about each of these things
right.
as they
and
happen.
There's videos of them discussing them.
So what are you writing about, JP?
I wrote about Sean Taylor.
And what are you writing about, Pete?
Joe Gibbs 2.0.
And I think our guy Ethan Cadu is writing about
RG3.
So
there you go.
Let's put those three in our order because they're going to be coming out, and the orders might be different.
Yeah.
But I think the return of Joe Gibbs was such a big deal, but Sean Taylor's death was the biggest and saddest and most. It's hard to even describe because it was just so massively important and left like this giant hole. But if I had to rank them, it would be Taylor. And now in hindsight, I kind of think RG3 might have been bigger than Gibbs' return.
Mm-hmm.
Because RG3 mania was unreal. Dude, and I'll get knocked for saying this. RG3 at its peak, like when he had the 75-yarder against the Vikings and that whole stadium was chanting RG3, there was more excitement there than there was at the Nats World Series parade. Like, there was more excitement there than there
in
was.
In the city, like yeah. in the city.
Totally. Redskins capture the hearts of these people like no other team can.
And just football casts the widest yeah. net. I don't know. So
I agree. So for me, it's,
same list for me.
It's Sean Taylor's one. I think RG3 is two. By a little bit of a wide margin from the Joe Gibbs return as number three. I think obviously that's, you know, his history and everything that he did for this team and brought for this city counts for what it is with Joe Gibbs. But RG3 coming and the excitement around it and the resurgence of, you know, everything, it took over the city. I mean, it was front page, top headline every day from the day the Redskins made that trade till almost he got that concussion and
yeah.
and left town.
All right. I think we agree on that one. So here comes Bill Rabinowitz. Make sure you are checking out the Big 20 presented by McLean Mortgage. It is very, very cool. You guys are going to get a real real sense of enjoyment and kind of like some nostalgia in there as well. Here comes Rabinowitz.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
First down, Cole, sacked again. Loose, Warner picks it up. Warner breaks it back, he's got blockers. Warner down at the 45, Chase Young. Havoc, a career high, four sacks. For the best player in America, period.
All right, it is a great pleasure to have Bill Rabinowitz back on the podcast with us. We always appreciate his time. He is the Ohio State football beat writer for the Columbus Dispatch. He is all over all things that happen for the Buckeyes. Do I see two books written about the Buckeyes?
Yeah, there were two, and there were threats that I'd have to write a third this year, but they lost in the semifinals, so I was spared that.
You know that Pete's a big Michigan fan, my co-host Pete Haley. I don't know if he told you that.
Bill, big Michigan fan means I'm dating a girl who goes to grad school there, and she got me a couple shirts and a hat, and I like to rep them when they do well, and then when they don't, I'm more than happy to separate myself from them. So don't let JP slander my name like that, please.
Well, you're always assured of having the first weekend in December off.
There you go. There you
yeah,
go.
Between that team and the team I cover in the Redskins, my December and January is usually pretty clear.
Between the Wolverines right. and the Redskins, there's no playoff
buzz. Yeah, no worries about postseason football in my life, which I kind of like sometimes.
All right, Bill, you know what we want to talk to you about. I imagine everybody from Washington is calling you to talk about Chase Young, the overwhelming, likely number two overall pick after Joe Burrow, who we might ask you a couple questions about too. But Redskins pick second overall. Ohio State defensive end Chase Young is a star. What do we need to know about him before April?
Well, you're getting pretty much a finished product. He's not a project. He's the real deal. It's amazing that Ohio State fans have had the Bosa brothers, and now Chase Young is as star defensive ends the last, you know, since Meyer took over in 2012. It's been a great run. He's everything you'd want in a defensive end. He's quick. He's fast. He's strong. He's a very good technician. He cares. It's about as no-brainer pick as you're going to find, honestly.
You mentioned the Bosa brothers. I've heard some people say he's better than both of them. Where do you slot him when compared to those two guys?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of one of those impossible questions because you can't go wrong with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, well, one's better, it's, you know, I got to go back and forth. I think he's better than Joey was, which is hard to, you know, that's a hell of a compliment.
Right. I mean, isn't he about to win Defensive Player of the Year?
Yeah, I'm talking about at Ohio State. I haven't watched the Bosa enough as pros to really give an assessment of that. Other than I know they're lighting it up. Nick, I think, started off last year on a level I've never seen, and then got hurt, and so we didn't really see the real Nick Bosa for very long last year. So in terms of production from start to finish, it's hard to really argue with what Chase Young has done. I mean, If I've got the number two pick in the draft, and I assume that a quarterback, Joe Burrow, is going number one, I don't wait 10 seconds to turn in the card. I just say thank you very much and you know, move on.
I mean, I agree. I think this thing's
pretty
easy.
Makes three of us.
Just for all our listeners, Chase Young, 6'5", 265, as a junior at Ohio State. They played, what, 14 games? Is that right?
They played 14.
Well,
he didn't play two, obviously,
right.
The suspension.
So yeah. In 12 games, he had 16.5 sacks and 6 forced fumbles. And when you watch some of those games, he was – that Wisconsin game, and Wisconsin's known
right.
for their offensive line and their ability to block. He was dominant on a way – for me, and I watch college football, not like you, obviously, Bill, but I watch a good amount of college football. The last guy I remember dominating like that during – while watching a college football game – was Ndamukong Suh back in Nebraska.
Yeah.
It was that
yeah,
level.
It was, exactly. And I have a Heisman vote, and Chase Young is the first defensive player I've given a vote to since Suh back in, when was that, 2011 or 10 or 11, something, whatever it was. I thought he was that good.
Over
and,
Burrow, or just did he
no,
get
no, no,
a
no.
vote?
No, as a, I think I went Burrow, Fields, Young.
Gotcha.
I think that was those were my three. And it's a shame that you couldn't vote for more than three because there were definitely, I mean, J.K. Dobbins, I would have loved to give it a vote. Jonathan Taylor, I would have loved to give it a vote to. And others consider, you know, I'd love to consider, but you're limited to three. And
it
sucks because, you know, you want to be able to vote for more.
Here's a quick novice aside. How does one acquire a Heisman vote? Is it because you have a certain amount of tenure at your post or what?
I think you have to get a one-star review from a angry fan.
Then Pete and I should have plenty of Heisman votes.
Yeah, we love one-star reviews. I should be able to determine the whole trophy based on my vote.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I just know that when I started covering Ohio State, I was I was national college football writer before that. I think I got a vote back then. I don't know. There are like 900 people that have a vote, so it's not that exclusive. But it's I do take it seriously, and I really try to be conscientious about it because I think it's important to do it right. And so, I mean, I vote on the Biletnikoff thing. And there are all kinds of awards. College football has no shortage of awards, too many awards, honestly. But,
sure.
You know, the Heisman is the one. You owe it to everybody to take that one seriously.
So I'm pro football writers, and, you know, I get a vote for the PFWA awards. And it is like something that I try to take seriously anyway. There's value in having a vote, and you owe it to the folks you cover to take it seriously. And a Heisman vote's even more important than that. I do want to ask, to me, there's no, and correct me if I'm wrong, unless we think size, there's no on-field question about Chase Young.
Yeah, he called
right?
him a finished product.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I really don't think there are. I think last year he played with two bad ankles, and so his production, it was still good. But it wasn't off the charts. This year, his ankles were fine, and you know he was healthy, and you saw what he did. So, you'd have to really nitpick. He's good against the run too. You know, some guys are just pure pass rushers. He's not. I mean, he's just an all around guy. He's just
right. And, from the measurables, Montez Sweat 6'6", 260. Chase Young 6'5", 265. I mean, he's right there where you want to be measurables. So here's what I wanted to ask. There aren't on-field questions. What was the suspension? Do we need to care about it?
No, not really. It's, you know, an NCAA thing, and we never really got the full story about what happened.
He got a little bit of cash, basically?
Well, basically his girlfriend. He got a family friend gave him a loan for a family member or a girlfriend. He was a girlfriend, technically, but to get tickets to go to the Rose Bowl because they provide or at least subsidize for families, like parents.
Right.
You know, those kind of trips, those kind of bowl trips, but they don't for girlfriends or, you know, and he was just trying to, you know, he was trying to get his girlfriend to go. And so he accepted this money and somebody tipped off Ohio State. And Ohio State, out of caution and wisely, because the last thing you want to do is play an ineligible player.
Right.
It's one thing if he's ineligible and you don't have any idea he might be ineligible, but if you're tipped off and you still play him, then they could have had to vacate those wins and jeopardize the whole season, and they weren't going to do that, obviously. And the timing worked out well. The Ohio State played Maryland and Rutgers those 2 weeks.
Right.
So it could have had me a defensive tackle or a defensive end. It wouldn't have mattered. So. Well, maybe not me.
Then you could have voted for yourself for Heisman.
Yeah. So
I have two thoughts on this. One, I don't care at all. I mean, A, that kid should be making however much money he can. That's a whole different debate. But two, I don't care about this at all. I don't think it impacts his character or what he can do on the field or what he can be as a professional. That's one. Two is I heard it was Penn State that was trying to get him in trouble so when Penn State played Ohio State, he wouldn't be on the field. You hear that rumor?
Yes, I had heard that rumor, and that was debunked.
I like it better, bunked.
Yeah, we like bunking.
Yeah, well, Ohio State said, Gene Smith, I think it was, don't hold me to that, but I think it was Gene Smith, who specifically said it was not Penn State, it was not anybody from the Big Ten, that it was basically, I don't know if it was an anonymous tip, but somebody called and said, hey, this happened, or this may have happened. And it was right after, I think it was right after the, which game was it? I can't remember which game it was, but Wisconsin game maybe. And so that was Ohio State, you know, did what it needed to do. And again, Rutgers and Maryland, not an issue. So.
Hey, you know you're talking to two Terps here, Bill. You could take it little easy on
them. Okay. I Maryland had one of the stranger seasons I've ever seen.
They were ranked at one point. Right.
And then
they lost by 70 at home on a Friday.
Yeah, it was
wheels kind of fell off there.
Yeah,
because you know when we find a prospect nearly as complete as this, we do try to look for the flaws. One thing some Redskins fans have been saying to us on Twitter is during that Clemson game, Chase Young, you know, maybe didn't have as much of an impact on the stat sheet, and some fans are saying, "Oh, if he can't perform on the biggest stage, why should we take him with the second overall pick?" What did you see out of him? Was it his performance? Was it Clemson giving him so much attention? What happened on that evening?
Yeah, I mean, teams obviously were not just kind of blocking him one-on-one, and I think that was definitely a big part of it. He was close a few times, and Clemson got rid of the ball quickly. Trevor Lawrence got a very quick release, and they were very conscious of him. And, yeah, you still liked for him to just blow him up, you know, have one of those kind of games where it's like it doesn't matter if there are five guys blocking you. But that's generally not realistic. I mean, if a team wants to stop a defensive player, or really an offensive player for that matter, they can do it. It's at what cost? Do you single block everybody else or even, you know, take your chances with not even doing that? And so, you know, teams aren't going to just say our only goal is to stop Chase Young. It's to win the game. And, you know, I think he played well in that game, but I don't think the defense played well when it needed to in that game. So, and I've been remiss. I have not gone back and watched the replay of the game. I generally do DVR reviews, and I was just honestly so exhausted from the season that I just couldn't even bear the thought of it. So I'll know more when I do that eventually.
Take your time. But
look, I'm not sure. The other thing is I'm not sure Ohio State fans really want to relive that game in detail, so that was part of it too.
He had 9 sacks I'm sorry. He had 9 tackles for loss and 7 sacks against Wisconsin and Penn State. I feel pretty confident saying those were the two, besides Ohio State, those were the two best teams in the Big Ten and probably top 10-ish teams.
Yeah.
I mean,
he can do it against good opponents.
Yeah. No doubt. That one doesn't. To me, I think you're right that this is a no-brainer, and I think, especially the Redskins going back to a 4-3, just giving this kid every chance makes all the sense in the world to me. Is there anybody you compare him to that you've seen his skill set as a comp?
Well, not really. I mean, when I covered the NFL, I covered Peter Boulware. There's a little bit of resemblance there in terms of the quickness and the burst off the ball, but Boulware was not the run defender that Chase Young is. I'm not sure that Young is quite as explosive off the edges. I mean, Boulware was phenomenal.
I remember at Florida State. I mean, he was just...
Yeah, and then with the Ravens, he was phenomenal at coming off the edge. And, you know, he had a great career. Young is, you know, I think he's bigger than Peter Boulware. So I think he's better against the run. I think a more complete player. But that's kind of who I kind of think about a little bit, okay. But I don't know that there's really anyone that's all that similar.
God, and people kind of forget, Boulware had a 15-sack season. I don't know if that's the year the Ravens won the Super Bowl, but it was right there. I mean, Boulware was a beast. That's a great comp. I think people would kind of – and size-wise, they seem similar, 6'4", 250. You know, I guess Chase – to me, what's crazy with Chase Young watching him is he almost looks skinny. He looks long, whereas
there's no fat on him.
When you watch the Boses, though, they look thick and powerful, whereas Young looks wiry almost, and you know he's got the size and the strength. It's just he's a freak, man. He's remarkable.
Yeah,
I know that's not really a question.
Yeah,
but
I know.
He's special. Like I said, you know, have the Boses and then have Chase Young. Larry Johnson's had and developed some great players. I mean, Larry Johnson deserves a decent amount of the credit for Chase Young, especially with the technical end of it. Because when he got to Ohio State, he was just kind of a pure rely-on-talent guy. And as a freshman and even a little bit as a sophomore, that was kind of the way he was. But he's much better at using his hands and just leverage and all that kind of stuff. He's a smart player. And I think you'll like him as a personality if the Redskins take him. He's a very gregarious guy, kind of a loud guy in a fun way. You know, his family, I know his mom a little bit, and she's, you know, kind of a life of the party kind of person. And he's got personality. I mean, Dwayne Haskins is much more of a quiet guy.
Sure.
Chase is a little louder.
Well, it's interesting you brought up Haskins. So, obviously, Dwayne is from here, but so is Chase Young. He's from Upper Marlboro, Maryland,
right.
PG County. But bringing up Haskins, I did have to ask you this because this has become an oddly hot topic here in D.C., especially after the season Joe Burrow just had. What happened in Columbus that Dwayne beat out Burrow? And, you know, that's now 3 years ago when that happened, right?
Right, right.
So did Burrow grow? Is Dwayne that good and we just didn't see it? If you can, go back to, you know, I'm guessing 2017 and what that competition was like. Help me remember, too, how involved JT Barrett was at the time, all those sorts of things.
Sure. Well, JT Barrett was the starter. JT Barrett had been the starter. He was the starter on the 2014 National Championship team, got hurt against Michigan, broke his ankle. Cardale Jones comes in, wins the National Championship. Then it's JT.
That was a wild ride. Cardale just went deep all the time.
Yeah,
it was
so
awesome.
Fun.
Yeah, it was, you know, yeah, that's, you know, it helps to have that kind of stuff when you write a book, you know. So
sure.
I appreciate the compliments about the book, but they gave me a great story to write. So it was a great, so Cardale, and then they split time next year. But then JT's the quarterback 16 and 17. And Burrow and Haskins are battling to be the backup. And Burrow breaks his hand. He hits his hand on another player, teammate in practice, breaks his hand.
Okay.
So he's rehabbing during the 17 season. And then Haskins gets hurt against Michigan. Barrett gets hurt against Michigan. So Haskins, having... you know, been healthy all year, he goes in and rallies Ohio State to win in Ann Arbor, which gives him a huge leg up going into next year, 2018, into spring ball. and it's an open competition, but we all kind of know that Burrow is going to have to basically knock out the champ, because you go to Ann Arbor and rally the Buckeyes to win there, that's a huge thing on your resume. And I think they are pretty much even during camp, or, you know, I don't think either one really separated himself. They both were good. And Burrow was going to graduate. He was going to graduate in 3 years, smart guy, and wasn't going to stay if he wasn't going to be the starter, which is his prerogative. He'd earned the right to decide that. Well, Urban Meyer and Ryan Day, the offensive coordinator then, had seen what Haskins had done in a game and watched those two in practice, and there wasn't a lot of separation. They wanted both of them to stay, but Burrow had earned the right to move on because he'd graduated or was going to graduate, and so there were no hard feelings. It was a completely understandable move by all sides. There was no – this was a win-win. But I don't think anyone thought maybe Joe Burrow, and I'm not even sure about Joe Burrow, could have envisioned him doing what he did at LSU. Last year, 2018, if you were to say, which quarterback would you rather have, there were no Ohio State fans, or very few, who would have said, I wish Burrow were here instead of Haskins. Haskins threw for 50 touchdown passes. Burrow had a very good year, but not, you know, a sensational year at LSU.
I have his numbers here. In 2018 at LSU, Burrow completed 57% of his passes for 2,900 yards, 16 touchdowns, 5 picks.
Yeah, doesn't scream Heisman
favorite.
Whereas favorites.
Dwayne at Ohio State went 70%, 50 TDs, was it 8 or 9 picks?
Yeah.
Right.
Not to mention, Burrow could have gone pro, and Dwayne did. Right? I mean.
Right. Sure. So, you know, it's only because Burrow just went off this year, had a year for the ages, that people, a few, and even now people understand here, look, you got 1 year of Haskins, and they thought they'd get more, but the 1 year of Haskins results in that plus 2 years of Justin Fields. So Ohio State fans, if they'd had their, you know, the contrarians who may have wanted Burrow, they'd be looking for a quarterback next year. You know, they don't have to. Ohio State's got Justin Fields, who's going to be a Heisman front runner next year. You know, what caught Ohio State off guard was the fact that Haskins left after 1 year as a starter. They expected him to have at least 2 years, maybe three. That really caught him off guard. It wasn't until like mid-season or even toward the later part of the season in 2018, they were like, oh, my God, this guy might leave. And they had Tate Martell and Matthew Baldwin, who was a project, as their only quarterback. So they were like, oh, man, we're in some trouble here.
Well, and Tate Martell's a real piece of work from what I understand.
Well, he couldn't win the job at Florida or at Miami, and Miami was awful this year.
Right.
So, I mean, do you think Ohio State would have had a sniff of the playoffs with Tate Martell as the quarterback?
So, well, one of the – I'm with you. I think there was no way for Ohio State to know the rocket ship Joe Burrow was going to get on in 2019. One of the – dumbest decisions I've seen in college football.
Oh, you love talking about this one.
How on earth Georgia picked Fromm over Fields? I'll never understand that. Watching those two guys this year, unless they're so addicted to their pro style offense and they didn't think Fields could run it. I mean, that one makes no sense to me.
I'm not privy to what's going on at Georgia, other than Jay Fromm took them to the brink of a national championship as a freshman. And I think that there was some loyalty there. I think they thought that Jake Fromm could take that step, like maybe Burrow did, and he didn't. And I don't know exactly why. I don't know that they had the playmakers around him. But right now, you know, Georgia's looking at nobody. They're looking at a guy that Ohio State had recruited, Dwan Mathis, maybe is their guy, unless they get somebody in the transfer portal. The quarterback thing in college football nowadays is crazy. It is because the guys that used to be content to sit for 2-3 years and then start as a senior, those guys aren't doing it anymore. It's, I want to play now, and there's only one quarterback. You can rotate wide receivers and running backs and every other position, basically, but not quarterback.
Right. Tell Georgia some of these Maryland quarterbacks might be available to transfer.
Well, and you think about things like in 2018, if that quarterback had made an accurate throw in the overtime – yeah, right. You can that changed a lot of people's lives.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
So my takeaways here are Chase Young is an absolute freak. Take him.
Yep.
Dwayne Haskins still very good. Give him a chance. Am I hearing that right, Bill?
Yeah, I mean, Washington. The
Did
Red
you get to watch him at all here?
Just a little bit. You know, I know that Terry McLaurin had a great year, and I'm happy
great
for him. He's
year.
Just a great guy. Great guy. I mean,
absolutely.
Terry McLaurin is beloved here. And,
yeah. I wanted to ask you about him real quick. Like, you know, we had heard from you and everybody that great character guy, and our impression was special teamer would come maybe to be a deep threat year one, 40 catches for 800 yards and a couple touchdowns. Did you think he had – I mean, he was their number one threat over the middle, tough sideline catches, dependable each and every week. Did you think he had number one receiver qualities right away in him? And if you did, feel free to tout yourself.
No, I didn't. As a rookie, no. I mean, I knew that Terry McLaurin was fast. He cared a lot. He was a great team guy. He would do anything for the team. I just know, having covered the NFL for as long as I did, that it's hard for rookie receivers to kind of come in and be that number one guy. It just doesn't happen very often. And so, you know, I thought he would be a guy that teams loved. I mean, Sam Hubbard's kind of a similar guy with the Bengals. Third-round guy, and you just do. Sam Hubbard is a quality guy, quality player, and those are the guys you build around. You know, but you don't necessarily think they're going to be stars from day one. And to McLaurin's credit, he was. Because at Ohio State, he was a late bloomer. Mm-hmm. He's always a good guy. I kind of joked.
He's a five-year player there, right? Didn't he redshirt?
Yeah, I even kind of joked to him. He's the best player that never did anything, you know, for like 2 or 3 years. And then as a junior, he started to produce. And as a senior, he was really good. He was just one of these guys, the ball would just go off his fingertips or, you know, whatever. But he was a good player, but it's like, okay, when's the production going to meet what you know is there? And then it did toward the end of his college career, and then it just has continued. I'm not putting him in the same category as Michael Thomas because that's a special, sure. special. But Michael Thomas had like 40 catches as a senior at Ohio State. And I remember that draft when I would be asked, you know, who of these kind of under-the-radar guys do you like? And I'd say Michael Thomas because I'd seen what he'd done. Just didn't get to do it a whole lot.
Kind of nailed that one.
I wish I'd become his agent.
Even, you know, the more hyped Buckeye receiver last year was Paris Campbell. That was the guy more folks were talking about, just the speed and I guess the...
Yeah, but Paris Campbell was always more of a limited guy. I mean, his hands are shaky. He's unbelievable speed, and that's his calling card. But, you know, he's not a polished receiver. He played the H spot, kind of that slot receiver kind of guy.
Yeah, the comp is Percy Harvin, right? I've heard that a bunch.
Yeah, for Paris Campbell, yeah, it's more like it. I mean, he is incredibly fast. You get him in the open field, give him a crack, he's gone. But McLaurin's not much slower than
that speed is real,
Campbell.
And that guy's route running is just off the
charts. He was shaking Stephon Gilmore, every top corner, Darius Slay, he was getting by him every week with bad quarterback play and no guys around him. Yeah, just incredible player.
All right, so Bill, I know you got to run. I want to just wrap up a few things here. Everybody make sure you follow Bill Rabinowitz on Twitter at BRDispatch. It's a great follow.
Yeah.
He's all over the Buckeyes.
And at this rate, every year the Redskins will be in line to take an Ohio State player, so you might as well just follow him now so you can learn about next year's first-round pick, too.
So, in closing, draft Chase Young, Haskins is good, but you would certainly take Burrow number one if you're the Bengals, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, they have to. First of all, I think the fans would burn down Paul Brown Stadium if they didn't.
It might just crumble on its own, though.
And this is my last thing. So, Bill, I apologize. I got held up a little at the beginning when I was doing a radio hit, and you and Pete had to make small talk. And I walked in here, and you guys were talking about book reviews and all sorts of stuff. But Pete had sent me a text, Bill. JP, we're going to stall with him. Please hurry, because I don't know what the hell to talk with him about. And Pete, when I walked in, was sweating and very visibly nervous. How'd he do?
He did fine. There's no reason to be nervous talking to me.
I know. Well, I just felt back, so we had pushed back 5 minutes, and then, you know, I said, hey, JP's going to be
back.
A couple more minutes, so I didn't want to hold you up.
No, I was driving back from Dayton. I went to see, I'm a native Daytonian, and I went to see my Dayton Flyers play. One of the best teams in the country. It's just amazing, Dayton Flyers.
Who's
so.
Coaching? I know Archie left. Who's coaching?
Anthony Grant. Used to be the coach at VCU.
Oh, in Alabama. I like that dude.
Gruden's son graduated from that team yet?
Yeah, he's coaching at Louisville now.
Okay.
So is Anthony Grant have them running up-tempo press and all that stuff?
They're not pressing that much, but they're just really good. They have Obi Toppin, who's going to be a lottery pick, and it's just this phenomenal team. They beat VCU last night. They played kind of mediocre for 35 minutes, and the other five, they went on a 22-0 run. So, yeah, it's kind of a special team for Dayton.
You know what? Go Flyers. And if things break right, Bill, I'm pretty sure I'll be at Ohio State Pro Day because I think we're going to have to come see Chase in person. If that happens, love to have dinner or get a bite to eat maybe the night before or something.
Sounds good.
Okay.
That'd be great.
All right. Thank you very much. Everybody follow him at BR Dispatch on Twitter. Bill Rabinowitz, muchas gracias, man. Thanks again.
Thanks for enjoying my small talk.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Feel free to clown Pete. We all do.
Yes.
All right. Sounds good.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
All right. Great interview. Big thanks to Bill Rabinowitz. Ton of information there.
Sorry for my small talk issues.
I think you did fine, dude.
The text messages flying around before that were spectacular.
So spooked.
I think Chase Young's a stud, man. And I think there will be a picking him apart on, especially like Twitter's the worst.
Definitely.
Especially on Twitter.
They're gonna find like one random play in October where he didn't give a lot of effort. Oh, is this an issue?
Right.
F off.
But I think that'll all go away. I think January 20th, I think the Skins are taking Chase Young number two.
Can I also say that for the group of people out there that say that look at what the Niners did, taking the step last year after drafting Bosa, and saying that if the Redskins draft,
I'm one of those people.
Chase Young, you know what? Then you and Bruce probably agree that they are pretty damn close, because you're not there's you're not
a you
ton
of changes.
You
think they're going to the Super Bowl?
No,
with
but
Chase
why?
Young?
Why if is you, drafting Chase Young an argument that they're close? They're just getting a really good player.
If you think that the Redskins are going to be next year's 49ers based
I'm not
on the fact
that
they both had good defensive personnel but underachieved the year before, then they grabbed the number 2 overall pick who was a defensive end from Ohio State that was good, and now all of a sudden they're going to be the next Niners, then you're saying that they're close.
Oh boy.
I wrote in my story, of course, having a great head coach and Jimmy G and a running game, all that matters, but I think the Redskins front seven can resemble the Niners, and then that can be what they build their team around. I don't think drafting Chase means I'm Bruce Allen and I'm thinking they're close.
Dash of Ashburn syndrome there, partner.
It's not at all.
Dude.
Just go draft a good defensive player.
No, that's fine. Add the best player. I'm with that. But you said, well, their front seven could resemble that Niners front seven. We have no idea. There is zero evidence to support that. And I think some of those guys are good.
Yeah.
But that is Ashburning yourself.
No,
yes, it is, dude.
I'm just.
They were 32nd in the NFL on third downs.
I think that was a lot of it had to do with Minuski and bad linebacker play and a bad offense.
But linebackers are part of the front seven, Pete.
I know.
You just said front seven.
Sure. Okay. I think they have a lot of talented first rounders, and you add Chase Young, and he could be the tipping point for a defense.
Also, going back to what Jonathan Allen said before last season.
Sure. All of this doesn't matter, but I think getting Chase Young in the building could change plenty of it.
I agree with that.
I'm not being Bruce.
Hold on. I agree with adding Chase Young could be a big-time difference.
Yes.
But, like, when you ask when Jack Del Rio was asked about the talent that was here, he was like, I don't give a He was completely dismissive of that thought process, which you are now enabling again.
I don't think I'm enabling, and I think Jack has to say that because he's the defensive coordinator and doesn't want to set expectations. I can say that looking at the roster and all the things they've invested. I know those guys haven't performed the way they should, and maybe they haven't been as great, but I think you get a DC and Chase Young around them, and then it can change it quite a bit in 1 year.
I'll say this.
I think Chase Young is a guy who can change a group of players by joining them and making them all better.
2018 Niners defense was 13th in the NFL in yards allowed.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
Way better than where the
Skins were terrible.
Yeah.
So they went from 13th
Right. They haven't.
To second.
They didn't make the quantum. The Redskins will have to make a quantum leap. The Niners were somewhat good.
But you go back to 2017 and the defense was. That's
why I don't think expecting a quantum leap is reasonable.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm expecting quantum, but I think he can make a dramatic difference.
We're splitting hairs.
Yeah,
but
if you're saying that the Redskins
we're
with Chase Young,
about casinos.
I know.
Yeah,
if you're saying the Redskins with Chase Young are the Niners from last year,
I think they can start building their team in a similar way to the Niners. But I'm not expecting them to be in whatever the Super Bowl is next year. When you guys go to cover the Super Bowl next year, and I get left back for a third year in a row, you will not be going to see the Redskins.
Like some of that's on you. Make yourself have to go.
I know.
I don't know how, but do it.
Yep.
I think it's in Tampa too, which if I recall, is a city you've enjoyed.
That changes things big time.
All right.
That's a quantum leap.
That would be a quantum leap,
all right.
Peter.
Casinos.
So we went to MGM. MGM is just a very nice property. I enjoy going over
just
there.
So clean and spotless.
I was so happy that we were able to find the lobby bar.
Yeah.
In the lobby.
In the lobby.
We went with our friends Hordell and Scoogs and Biagi.
Scoogs is cool.
I like Scoogs.
I'm all in on Scoogs.
Yeah, he was cool.
Scoogs is a new guy around town, and we're big fans.
Yeah. Lobby bar was cool, except I didn't like the weird drink the guy made me.
You didn't like the Smoky Manhattan?
No.
So it was Dealer's Choice Manhattan, which means it's his take on it or something?
Right, which is cool, but he put, like, I like peaty scotch. Like, if you're going to do that, cool, but I don't then want that in, like, a sweet cocktail.
Yeah.
We also got to remember that Hordell goes to that bar often and asks for the Dealer's Choice Manhattan every time. So the guy is getting further and further.
Right.
He's run through, like, the good adaptations of a Manhattan, and now he's going through the wilder
out there
ones of it.
For
but
those,
he makes a damn good Manhattan.
I would have loved to try a Manhattan, because here's what I had. For those that know the cocktail we're discussing, Four Roses Bourbon, which I think it was single barrel. It was certainly nice bourbon. But then they added Laphroaig to this thing. And Laphroaig is probably, like, Pete would die.
I don't even know what Laphroaig is.
It's a scotch that is, like, made, for lack of a better word, with peat. You know what peat, like P-E-A-T?
I've heard of it.
It's like coal, basically. Yeah. It's like dirt coal.
Yeah, that's trifling.
And the flavor is intense.
When you think of, like,
yeah, you didn't seem thrilled with it when you're drinking it. Yeah,
it's the smokiest of smoky scotch. Like,
yeah.
Imagine
you're drinking an ashtray,
a cigar, yeah. Like a high end ashtray.
I remember when we were in Phoenix and I had that drink. It was like smoking something, and it came out with like a dome over top of the drink when they had smoked underneath it. It was like it's like that.
But you signed up for that ride.
Yes, I signed. It was like coffee and cigar or something.
Right,
was the name of it.
I got signed on the up line for a Manhattan, right. And I got one of the weird. It was good, and had I been in the mood, or if I had ordered that drink and know what was coming my way, awesome.
Yeah.
But that was not what
it was funny. You brought it to the bar, and the guy's like, oh, you want another? You're like, I'll do like a, you got a Miller Lite back there?
I needed to like.
I actually think you went Coors Light again.
Yeah. I needed to like cleanse the palate.
Yeah, reset there.
So from there to Tapped, which is their sports bar.
So real quick, they have the Luxardo cherries up at the lobby bar.
Oh, yeah. And
that's a very important, that is a very important distinction.
Later, we're at the blackjack table, and he's asking for cherries, and they just bring him like, the cherries
the
from an
maraschino
ice cream sundae.
Cherries that are terrible.
Very, you are not happy with that either.
So
prima donna.
Whatever. We go to
Tapped,
which was awesome. Just had a boatload of wings and nachos.
Sure.
I can't wait until they get a sports book there.
I know.
That place is going to be spectacular,
dude. That Tapped.
It's like set up, ready to go.
Turn into a sports book. It'll be perfect. And then we hit the tables. We found a table. We could all sit down.
You wanted to go to a separate table. In that Blossom area.
Which is where
so
I wanted to go.
You were apprehensive about that.
I don't like.
We sat on the floor. Basically.
I don't like the electronic shoe. Like, when the hands never stop, doesn't give you a chance for a break.
Yeah.
And, like, order a drink.
I've now adopted that philosophy.
Right.
I didn't like it either.
You also have some. I can barely do math, okay?
We all know.
I'm not counting cards. But you can get some idea of what's happening.
Yeah.
You can get a rhythm. You can start seeing where the rhythms
are. Right. Like, you can see how much is left in the shoe. You have
a lot of face cards have come out.
40 kings or whatever, right? So when it's electronic, it just keeps going.
I've now picked up that philosophy.
Dealer was also an
His name was and we were the
losers. I don't know that we need to name him, Pete.
Sorry. Funny. Okay.
Well,
I just thought it was a funny
name. Bleep out the name.
It rhymes with that.
No. Just bleep out the name.
Sorry.
Tim. Dude, it's his job. We're not trying to call somebody's job.
I just wanted to do the cheap zing of what his name was and what we were doing.
Yeah. All right. Always the cheap zing. Yeah. Whatever. So we're all kind of treading water. Skoogs, I feel like, got a lot of blackjacks.
Yeah, he did, like, good stuff the day before, so he had some karma coming his way.
But it, at that electronic shoe, blackjack only pays 3-2.
No, it was 6-5, which is bad. Sorry. YouTube tells you to never sit at a 6-5 table.
Everything we did is what you're not supposed to do.
Right.
Right.
But because it's Maryland and there aren't that many casinos, there's only like 5 tables that aren't.
Yeah, we wanted our whole group there. We wanted to be high-fiving and cajoling and yelling and screaming, which we were doing.
So this is where it goes bad for me, and then I'll let...
And me, too.
Right, but so I had one hand specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
did
two.
It was like
I had fours against his four, which is like a prime situation to get aggressive. So I split them, got a four and a five, so I had a 9, so I doubled.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got my other hand, I got another 4 on there, so split those again.
Yeah, a lot. He was like moving cards around at this point.
And then I got like a 4 and a 9, so then I have 13.
Yeah.
And then that 4 was another double. I don't know if it was a 6 or what. So at that point, it's $25 hands.
You don't have to say how much you had out there.
It was a decent amount, and I had like 6 hands going. It gets to what we're not supposed to say, and... So he's showing the 4, so I'm counting big card, we're out of here. Everybody's getting paid.
Yep.
Flops a damn ace, and at that point, I'm just like, oh, I'm so screwed. Because it just gives him such wiggle room.
So much flexibility. We hate wiggle room on this podcast. He had so much in that hand.
4 and ace, next card's a 6, cowabunga. Like I'm dead.
Yeah.
But
that's always the way it works. When you're kind of treading water, and then you get your one hand, and you're like, all right, this is going to be the big one that's going to...
It was the big one.
And that's what I had 8s against a dealer 6. I got a split and a double and another one. He had a 6, flipped over a 5 for 11, 21.
You know what's coming.
Right away.
As
like,
soon as he gets to 11.
As soon as that undercard isn't the big one that you need, you're just toast.
When it's big, you need big, and it's small, you're done. You're done.
So I didn't get felted, but I like pulled
a
little bit off and just walked away in disgust.
Yeah, you were gone for a little bit.
I think I like kind of grumped it as I was walking
out. Yeah, you said some cheap remark. And then
I was like, thanks, Victor. It's been awful or something like that.
I was felted and salty.
But when I left, Pete had a stack.
Yeah.
And then I came back.
I was squirreling him away. I had
him in my chest.
Yeah. My chest pocket.
And then I come back and you're like, this is my last chip. I was like, what happened?
Yeah.
And so then Pete was felted.
Yeah.
Literally all of us at that table, except Skoogs, I think.
Skoogs
got
hot.
Felted.
Everybody
Skoogs
else
was
the terrible.
Only one.
All right. So we're all done and we all need a break. And then we go to Blossom,
which is where you wanted to go the whole time.
But it was $50 minimums, I think.
Right.
I ain't paying. I'm not paying $50. That's not for me.
I had $50.
Whether or not I had more than that, I don't want to be. That's just a lot, dude. Yeah. Like,
we're not that much of a high roll.
Right. No.
We all know where we work.
Right.
Yeah.
So we just chill for a minute. Maybe go get a drink. We were just kind of like walking around.
We took shots.
Great. And then Pete was talking himself into this roulette thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So I lost the last 50 at the table and I go, JP, I want to go to a roulette wheel and put a heavy amount on there and just whatever happens, happens. So that's when we got a drink. We collected ourselves.
I bet that we took shots.
We took a shot. You're kind of preparing me for it.
Pete
trying to numb
to,
me up.
Pete wanted to throw the money down on the table. And we were like, all right, we're taking a shot beforehand. And then we're walking over to the table.
Yep, Jameson
with
shots.
With a JMO and I think beer, Bud
yep,
Light.
We got a beer after. Yeah. Just kind of cooling me off, making sure this is what I wanted to do.
It's also, you're paying. I didn't realize or whatever. Like when you're buying drinks at the MGM, you're paying stadium prices.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all right. Anyway.
It's a hand of blackjack, basically. So we go, and luckily the ATM card gives me my money, so I take out.
Unlike last time.
I really thought it wasn't going to work.
Luckily the ATM card gives me my money.
Yeah.
I left my ATM card at home for that reason.
Which is so bizarre. I was very... Had you had a rough weekend before? I was very surprised that you didn't have your ATM card.
I've had 3 very good trips in a row to the casino. I know well enough that the casino ends up winning in the long run,
right.
And I wasn't going to open myself up because I had been doing well.
Gotcha.
The bank account had a couple extra zeros
right.
in it.
Fair.
So I pull out what ended up being the max bet on the roulette table, which I never do. This is just, I want to just roll it and see what happens. Put it on the table, put it on red, I think.
I think it was red.
Red, and then...
Bang!
I'm just sitting next to the wheel. Mitch covers my eye at the last minute, and I hear JP go, it's red!
I literally was holding my hand over. Pete's like trying to move his head around to like see it.
You're playing really good shadow defense.
It was like that picture in London where he's like blocking
he was just
the guy's
security guard.
We already established the big hands, so it was easy to block his eyes
And that
out.
Just gave me second life, and then we ended up playing more blackjack. And
I got in on your hot roulette
Yeah, because I think we won the next one.
Yeah, so that was fun, dude.
And then we sat at the blackjack table, played more. Everybody was fine.
Irish
goodbye.
JP just dipped at one point.
And like, I got I had a missed call from Biagi and a text from Hordell.
Yeah,
I just didn't respond to anybody. It was time for me to go home.
And then
I got. By the way, when we left and whatever,
we got pizza at the end. We were watching myself on TV. Remember, I was wearing the same outfit I was wearing on TV. So we're
not only that
going up to people,
at the poker table. And being like, dude, they're like in the middle of hands, and Pete's like grabbing him on the shoulder. He's like, dude, you recognize that guy on TV? What do you think of that guy on TV?
As he's trying to figure out whether he wants to like bet the flop. And then we ate pizza, and then what were you saying as we were leaving?
I believe we all got in our own Ubers to go home.
Yep.
And yet I still had missed calls from Biagi and Hordell being like, where are you? What's going on? So that was the things.
Got a little sloppy.
Things got a little sloppy.
I left at the right time. I know that much.
Yeah. So I won.
I'm glad I didn't interrupt people.
I think Pete bought Biagi's pizza at the end of the night, which was a nice move from him.
Yeah.
And I think I got either Skoogs's or Skoogs's and Hordell's.
Yeah, we were taking care of our guys.
There was a weird, things are happening.
Yeah. So I ended up 280, which was really nice. And then I didn't do anything this weekend, so I kept the 280.
All right. And now you are going to Michigan to visit your girlfriend.
Right. And we're going to, I mean, when you're in Michigan, you have to spend a night in Detroit, obviously, right?
So you're getting a hotel in Detroit.
Which is 6 minutes away from the MGM in Detroit.
So are you flying or driving?
Flying.
And she's picking you up at the airport, you're going straight to Detroit.
Ann Arbor Thursday night, Detroit Friday. So
she's driving to Detroit to pick you up from the airport?
No.
Going back to Ann Arbor?
I'm taking a terrible, like, transit thing. She doesn't have a car. We're like, renting a car through an app. We're paying, like, $60 for a Highlander for the Friday driving.
Why wouldn't you talk to me about that and I can set you up with a car?
Because I don't want you to have to set me up for everything.
You're such a donk.
This is.
You could, whatever. That's a discussion not to be had here. But
I'm not going to.
Why are you. Oh, hold on then.
We don't really need a car in Ann Arbor.
Hold on. For goodness sakes, kid. You're paying extra to get a Highlander? Because you can get a car for $35.
So it's this app, and it's the closest car we can pick up is a Highlander. It's not necessarily
on that
extra.
App.
Yeah.
You telling me there's no Enterprise in Ann Arbor?
I'm sure. But
how about Pete flies to Detroit?
This is supposed to just celebrate my winnings, not rip on me for my car rental
Pete's
habits.
Flying to Detroit, taking a bus or something 45 minutes or so to Ann Arbor. To rent a car the next day to drive back to Detroit.
It's a 45-minute drive, not an 3-hour excursion.
Hold on. Yeah, so then are you going back to Ann Arbor?
Indeed.
And leaving the car?
Yeah.
And then you have to take the bus back to Detroit?
Yeah, but that's in like 3 days.
Why wouldn't you just do Detroit your last night there and take one?
Or the first night there, one or the other.
Because I don't want to. It's a fair point.
Because he doesn't have an answer.
Right.
I don't necessarily
it's poorly planned trip.
I don't like ending my trip on the funnest night. I like having kind of a quiet night there the last day.
You think Detroit's going to be the most fun
Detroit
night?
Detroit on a Friday? You kidding me? I'm not going to waste that. I'm not going to do Detroit on a Thursday or a Sunday. Detroit on a Friday is when you
Detroit
go.
Detroit Rock City.
Yeah.
I don't think Pete's ever been to Detroit.
This dude is taking his girlfriend now to Philadelphia and Detroit.
Yeah, so drop me your
Set
Rex.
The bar high.
Can't wait for Jacksonville.
At least you took her to Miami.
Yeah, that was
But big. You oddly like stayed in that whole weekend. You were very emo that trip.
Yeah, I don't get to see her that much. I don't want to spend a bajillion bucks in Miami.
But you want to go to Philadelphia and Detroit.
Absolutely.
You know what? If he took her immediately to Vegas, Nashville, whatever good cities you want to say, then he's setting the bar too high for himself.
I'm building up from Philly to Detroit. Who knows? We might go to Scranton next time. Spend a night in Branson, Missouri.
Entirely too long. Thank you to the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Hope you do the same thing. Thank you for listening. We are 1 week out from Miami, live every day, 12-1, my team's app. You better be there. You better send us pictures. It's going to be wild. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer. Outside linebackers, Kerrigan, Sweat, Ryan Anderson, Casanova. Right?
Oh, yes. Casanova.
Oh, Lord.
Inside linebackers.
You will not hear me doing that.
You're welcome to, anytime.
No. I'm not a character.
It was a lot less cool when Pete did it. When we like, doing it at the same time was not planned and not cool.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check.
See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.